Tonight, I'm going to speak about an interesting subject that it can sound really generic, but it's not. I want you guys to open the Bibles, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, and 5 through 7. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. In the Bible, the Word of God says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Think about him in all your ways, and he will guide you on your right paths. Don't consider yourself to be wise. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." Amen. We start this series of Bible studies a while ago based on these tickets right here. These are some notes you guys passed us to us. We did ask you to put on the paper what you want us to speak about. And I have a bunch of biletele that actually describes what you want us to speak about. I'm not going to read through them. I just want to point that, because these are your thoughts. These are your problems. These are your things that you're fighting and you struggle with in your daily life. And we're doing that because many times we go against this passage. We try to go according with what we know and not God, what God has for us. I have a group of amazing teenagers that I'm serving every Sunday morning. It's called Remnant, as you guys know. And it's interesting because every time when I said, "Guys, I have a question for you," they start smiling and they already gave me the answer. And they said, "Jesus is the answer." And I know sometimes it's a joke, but sometimes it's true. Jesus is the answer. And I was thinking about that. Is indeed Jesus the answer for all our questions? And it is. You might say, "There's no way. I don't think God or Jesus can actually or has to be in every single question in life that I have, or every single issue that I have." I think it is. I think it is. Now, why we don't accept that? What's the main reason why we don't accept that? It's because I believe that we don't like Jesus' answer towards our problem or for our problem. We just don't like it. It may be too rough. It may be too straightforward. It may be something that actually bothers me, and I cannot accept it. That's one of the reasons. The second reason is I'm completely afraid of his answer. I'm shaking knowing that God has something for me that I'm not ready for. And I'm shaking because I don't trust him. I don't trust his decision according towards my problem. And that's something that we are struggling with constantly. Another reason why we don't accept the answer, Jesus is the answer for everything, because God, we have the feeling that God is moving slow. You know, God's mathematics is different than ours. His time is different, and timing is different than ours. I give you a couple of examples. One of them is David. Remember when David was taking the Ark of the Covenant from the Philistines? And he was taking that ark to the Jerusalem, to the temple. And then what happened? He put in a brand new cart with oxes and everything. And then something happened. And then God punished them. Then David went back to the scripture. He tried to figure out what he did wrong. And he realized that it's too fast for God. And then he took the cart, the Ark of the Covenant. He made 6 steps. And then he offered an offering. And then another 6 steps. How is that even possible? It takes days, weeks sometimes to do like a mile in 1 week. Is that efficient? Sometimes we think it's not efficient. Sometimes we think, God, it's too slow for us, especially today in our technology. We're afraid that we don't want to do that. We have another example. Saul, He hurried up. He saw the Philistines coming against his army. He said, I have to bring the offering. I cannot wait. I have to do it. And he did it. It was a mistake. Another reason why we don't like this answer, God isn't the answer for everything, is because I like and you like to be in control. And you know that is true. You like to control your life. You like to control your problems. You like to control everything that's going on with you. You like to do that. And because you like to do that, you don't like God to intervene and take place of what you think you should be in control or you should be entitled to be in control. Now, how we fix this? We know these problems, we know the issues, and then how we fix this? First of all, we have to acknowledge the Bible. What is the Bible? What is the definition of the Bible? I want you guys open, maybe if you can, or have it on the screen, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. So I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter... sometimes technology just slows us down when we think actually it fastens us up. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says this. What is the definition of the Bible? All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. So that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. How we should be by following the gospel, the Bible, complete. Not just half, not just a part, just complete. Now, we know what is the right thing for us to do. We know that we have to rely on God completely. We know that the Bible is true, but it's so hard. It's so hard to apply that to our lives. We can't. We try to figure out things on our own. And here's the problem. Here's the problem that we're facing most of the time. When I have a problem and I don't want to go to God, I'm trying to figure it out, right? And maybe sometimes I go to the scripture and I use it for my own interests, not because I want God to talk to me, but just take the wisdom from that scripture. Many times we use the Bible not to talk to God, but to get inspired. Now, in the end, we kind of fix our problem, right? Even if it takes weeks, months, or years, finally we are managing to fix the problem. But guess what? In the process of fixing the problem, we gave root to more other problems. And then we realize we're facing, yes, I did a problem on my own, good job. Now I have 10 more other problems that I have to solve. And our focus, our timing, it's going back to fix that 10 problems that we created by trying to fix the first problem. Now, if we can't deal with the 10 problems we created, what happens? Then we realize, oh, there's a God. Let me go on my knees and talk to my Lord. And then we apply and we go to God and say, God, please come and change. Come do something because I'm in this mess. And thank God, God in his mercy, he looks down to us. He looks down to us like to some little children and said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to pull you out and I'm going to help you. I'm going to put you on the track. But be aware, your brothers are way ahead because they listened to me before you did. You have to catch up with them. And then something else happens. We feel like in our comfort zone again after a while, and then we start to doing the same mistakes. We're not talking to God. We forget to go to him, and we try to fix our problems on our own again. And we get to the same point over and over and over again. Because the flesh is telling us, you can do it. The flesh is telling me, you have to be under control. The flesh is telling me, you cannot wait for God. He's too slow. So what we have to do, first of all, we have to understand what the Bible is. 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17 says exactly what the Bible, the definition, the specific definition of the Bible, what the Bible is. Now, if we can understand that definition, if we cannot understand the purpose, the meaning, the importance of the Bible, there is no way we can actually go to the Bible because we're not going to trust that. How can you trust something you don't know? I encourage you, and I know it's a challenge that actually you heard from this pulpit for years and years and years. Pick up the Bible. Start reading the Word of God. Educate yourself. Let God to tell you what to do, how you have to be formed, transformed, or make decisions in your life. But you have to understand the importance of the Bible. If you think you have that problem, if you think it doesn't click, if you think you don't understand, I urge you, start learning that. Start understanding the importance of the Bible. Now, God has a plan for you. If you guys want to open to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are God's creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. We don't have to seek them, my brothers and sisters. We just don't have to seek them. They're right there. The only thing we have to do is walk in God's plan. Nothing else. How many times we spend times and times to try to figure out what God wants for me? How many times we spend time in prayer thinking, should I go in this place or should I go in this place? When it's so obvious, it's so simple. God has a plan for us. He said, the only thing you have to do is get closer to me so you can walk in my plans towards you. How simple it can be. We try to complicate them. We try to make things complicated. God is calling us to trust Him. Trust Him completely. And I think a really beautiful verse that actually describes that is in Hebrew chapter 4, verse 11. So I'm going to go through a lot of scripture tonight because I believe the scripture speaks for itself. And Hebrew chapter 4, verse 11 says this. Let us then make every effort to enter the rest. Let's make every effort to actually rest. How can you rest when you have so much problems in your life? How can you rest when you know tomorrow you have to pay the rent and you can't? How can you rest when you know my brother or my sister is on a deathbed and tomorrow might not live? How can you rest when you know there's so many things coming against you? How can I rest? How can we rest? I think the best thing is to rest in God. Not to be lazy. It doesn't mean that we have to be lazy, but to actually rest in God. That means we have to trust Him. We have to put everything, all the problems, everything we have in God's hands. Because He's going to take control of my life. He's going to do everything that I can't. How we do that? Let's read Ephesians 4:24. And Ephesians 4:24 pretty much tells me just that, how to rest in God. I'm going to probably use my Bible or I can actually do this. Ephesians 4, verse 24 says this. You put Ephesians 4:24, right? Yeah. Ephesians 4:24 says, you put on the new self, the new created according with God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth. I put my new self, my new person, my new being, my new Gabi, if you want to call it that way. I'm going to put the old Gabi on the side, a Gabi that actually relied on his own understanding, a Gabi that actually relied on something that he knew that's right to do, and I put that aside and I'm taking the new Gabi, a new Gabi that actually relies on God, a new Gabi that relies on the cross, a new Gabi that relies on the blood of Jesus, not on my own understanding, because my own understanding is going to take me down, not up, the way I have to be. And we are His children. God says specifically, you are created because I want you to be created. You are created so, and I did all this for my own glory. Colossians 1:16 and Isaiah 43:7 says this, I did it because I want to get the glory. For my own glory, you are existing. Everything that God created, He did it for His glory. The universe, the us, everybody, everything that He created, it was for His own glory. What's the challenge? What's the challenge in a few minutes? Put down, these are notes, these are ideas, these are thoughts, these are problems you guys are facing them. There are many, there are so many, and there are so many other that we don't even know about them. Take them to the cross. I don't know how much should I emphasize on that, of the importance of resting in Christ. It took me, sadly, 33 years to understand that. I can't say I'm completely resting in Christ. I want to say I'm fighting to rest in Christ daily. But I'm saying right now, it's so much beautiful to know that tomorrow something, it has to happen. You don't know. My brother, I want to give him as an example because it's an amazing thing. He had to build a roof. And for those who are doing construction, you know how hard it is to build a roof. He had to build a roof. And he couldn't figure out because the engineering was wrong, everything was wrong. So he had to build this roof. And the contractor was really nervous about it. Said, there's no way we're going to do it. We have to meet the deadline. There's no way we're going to do it. What are we going to do? And he said, don't worry. I'm going home and I'm going to pray. The guy started laughing. Said, you're nuts. I know you're a Christian, but you're nuts. Come on. Why God would tell you how to build the roof? He went home. He prayed. And God gave him a vision on how to build the roof. He got back. He looked at him and said, I'm going to build the roof. He built the roof and said, you're so smart. And Tudor said, it's not me, it's God. He's stressed out. He was worried, but he said, you know, I have a God that can help me in this situation. How much more for your problem or for my problems? Is cancer too big for God? Is your financial problems too big for God? Let's not minimize God the way we want to. Let's take a leap of faith and trust this word of God, the Bible. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word and the word was God. We have to believe this book, it's actually God in our hands, telling me and telling you every single step of the way what we have to do. Let's not lean on our own understanding, but completely trust in God. And when I say completely, as Hebrews says, rest in Him. Just rest in Him. As you go to sleep, knowing He's going to take care of your problems. Amen. God bless you.